You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Friday, November 5th. Michael Beller here with you. Friday means it is gambling day on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. So we're going to get into the remaining games on the slate. With me, as always, is Zach Jackson. Zach, how you doing today?
A little shaken by the fact that you just said November 5th and you were right. But other than that, I'm good. Let's talk some ball.
Yeah, time just flying by here. We're already halfway through this NFL season. Also with us, Vic Tafer. Vic, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you guys doing?
We are doing all right, despite the fact that it was an ugly week for us, guys, last week. Ugly, ugly week. Zach, you came in as the weekly champion among the three of us, and you went 2-3. Yeah. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of how we did. Vic and I both checking in with 1-4 weeks, so it was not pretty, and it's getting time to get down to brass tacks, guys.
We got I want to campaign politic a little bit here. Yeah. I mean, I made that over yes. pick when Dak yes. was in, so I want 2-2. I demand. who do I need to speak to about this?
I guess sportsbook operators, perhaps.
Okay. Yes. All right. I'm on it.
That is true. You did. I forgot about that. You had Vikings Cowboys over like 53.5, and that was when it sure looked like Dak Prescott was going to be playing in that game. We know he did not. Cowboys still got a win. That was actually my only win was Cowboys -2 that I also made with Dak in mind, and then that didn't happen. I was like, well, 0-5. I guess here we met. You know, I already knew I lost the first four, and then Sunday Night Football. Here we go, 0-5. But Cooper Rush, Amari Cooper, those guys coming through for me and getting me the one win. So it was ugly, guys. It was ugly for us last week. Let's turn things around here in Week 9, and we're going to actually just try to completely change up our fortunes. We're going to do that by forget about going over every single game. We're not going over every single game anymore. We're just focusing on our five. That was what the problem was. We were putting too much time into the games yes. that we weren't actually picking. Now we're just going to focus on our five favorites, and that is what we're going to do right here on this episode. That's going to help us turn around. And what better way to focus on our five favorites, you guys, than with one pick that we all like. Among our five faves, we have one consensus pick. It is the Chargers -1.5 at the Eagles. Zach, get us started here on why we like the Chargers.
Well, now I don't like it if we all three do. But, you know, we've been Chargers believers, I think, going back to the summer. I was leading that parade. I think they've hit a little bit of a rough spot. You have a young quarterback. You have a young head coach. That's going to happen. I think they're just a much better team than the Eagles. And I think now, with last week losing at home, you know, refocus. It's time to get to it. Obviously, the AFC West, is wide open. Yep. And I just look for a bounce-back effort. You know, I think the Chargers are a good team. It's going to get better. I just don't think the Eagles are a good team. I think that the pass game of the Chargers and the Chargers defense should both be better than what the Eagles should do. And we're only laying, what, 1.5 here?
1.5.
Yeah. I like the Chargers by a touchdown.
Yeah, 1.5 at BetMGM. Vic, anything you want to add on our amazing Chargers pick?
Yeah, I think, you know, Luster obviously is off Herbert a little bit. He's off two rough weeks, but I think this is a good spot for him. The Eagles blitz a lot. He's done really well against blitzes. I think, like Zach said, the Eagles are probably a little overrated in the bookmakers' minds. I'm not sure why they love them so much, but I have that huge win last week, but that was against the Lions, so I can't really give him too much credit for that. But I think, like Zach said, I think it's a good spot for him. If they are, in fact, a good team, we'll find out. If they're not, they're going to lose this game and we'll all be wrong. But I'm confident. I think we're all going to turn this whole thing around, starting with this game. And if you've lost money back in our picks, then get some more and put it all on this one. This is the big one. Like, this is really the one where we're going to prove you right for listening to us in the first place.
I am not going to endorse a consensus pick among three guys who have gone 500. Under 500 as a group to this point of the season on this show. But I like the Chargers for all the reasons you guys said, and the fact that, you know, the one thing that I like to look for is, can Team X take advantage of Team Y's weaknesses? The Chargers' biggest weakness, we know, is their rush defense, and I'm not sure the Eagles can take full advantage of that, notwithstanding what we saw last week from Boston Scott and Jordan Howard and Kenneth Gainwell and garbage time. I just don't think that that's quite the same thing as going up against the Lions, what they're going to see this week. And so I think that the Chargers' biggest weakness is almost, I don't want to say irrelevant, but it doesn't have quite as much to do with this game as it's had to do with, you know, some of the more recent games. We saw the Chargers get run all over by Damian Harris last week, go back to before their bye. Ravens ran all over them. Like, those were teams that were very well equipped to take advantage of the weak Chargers run defense. I don't think the Eagles quite get there. And then on the other side of it, a pretty good pass defense that the Chargers have. So I think that this is a nice matchup for the Chargers defense, a good bounce back spot, as you guys have said, for the Chargers offense as well. So that's our consensus pick for the week, Chargers minus 1.5 against the Eagles. And, you know, I'm going to put this one out on the internet too, guys. I'm going to cut the video after we tape this. This is going to be out there, so we better be right, because this one is going to be out there for everyone to see.
This is it. It's the lock of the year.
The lock of the year, Chargers minus 1.5 at the Eagles. Let's get going to pick number two for each of us, and we'll just knock these all back and forth. So, Vic, going to go to you for your second pick, and it is actually the team that Zach covers. The Bengals are 2.5-point favorites at home against the Browns. Let's hear your pick on this one.
Much like the Chargers, I think the Bengals bounce back this week. I think they're a better team than the Browns. I think they're healthier than the Browns. And so for those reasons, I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah, I can understand that. The Browns are kind of a mess right now. So are they going to be galvanized by all this OBJ stuff? Yeah, they might be. For as poorly as they played the last month, they're right in it. But their pass game stinks. Bengals are at home. They need this one. Last week was the ultimate hangover spot, right? Mm-hmm. I would just say if you like this one, and I kind of am with you, Vic. You know, early in the week, it was 2.5, 3 everywhere. I saw Bengals minus 1 this morning. And then on a different site, I saw 2.5, which is our MGM line. So shop it around if you'd like it. It's not going to make my top fives, but if we were running the whole thing down, Vic, I'd be with you on this one, because I just think the Bengals are better than the Browns in most areas right now. And although I don't think the Browns should be fully dismissed, because they're still a talented team, nothing they've put out there recently, you know, indicates that they're going to go score a road division win.
Yeah, the fact that this one, I want to say it opened at 3, and so seeing it drop beneath a field goal is a little worrisome for me, because the Bengals would be my lean as well. But yeah, it's hard to look at these two teams as they're constructed right now and everything the Browns are going through and not say that the Bengals are the better team. For my next pick, I'm going to go to the Texans and the Dolphins. Texans are 5.5-point dogs in Miami. I love the Texans in this spot, you guys. I wrote about this early in the week when it was plus 7.5, and I said this is all based on the fact that Tyrod Taylor almost certainly going to be back for the Texans. A couple days later, it dropped to 6.5. Then we get the official word Tyrod is going to be back, and now it is all the way down at 5.5. And with Tyrod Taylor, there's just no way that there is this big a gap between these two teams. This is a competent offense with Tyrod Taylor. Is it a good offense? I don't think so. But they're competent. They can do things. They can move the ball. We saw it in week one when they beat the Jaguars 37-21. We saw it in the first half of week two when they went into halftime tied at 14 against the Browns. And then that was when Taylor had to leave. Davis Mills came in. The Browns ended up winning that game 31-21. And it's been the Davis Mills show ever since. So in three halves of football, Tyrod Taylor and the Houston offense has looked pretty good. And they really have done more than what was expected of them coming into the season. So there's just no way that this is a 5.5-point difference. Hopefully you were able to get it earlier in the week when it was at 6.5 or 7.5, but still at 5.5, there's no way that the 1-7, nearly 0-8 Dolphins should be laying that many points against anyone, even these Houston Texans. So that is where I'm going with pick number two, Texans plus 5.5 at the Dolphins. Monday night football, you guys, Steelers and Bears. Not exactly the shiniest Monday night game, but Zach, take us there for your second pick. What do you got in this one?
Yeah, you know, last week I was screaming pick of the year, I think, to borrow Vic's line. It was under on Steelers and Browns, and my gosh, was I right about that, because it's ugly. The Steelers have a high school offense. they have a grandfather at quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger, but they really, you know, they don't want to go down the field much. They want to feed the rookie in any way they can. Their line is playing better. And they have one of the top defenses in the league. You know, it's not like they're indestructible, but they just build everything they do, guys, around this style of game. And here comes a rookie quarterback on national TV into Heinz Field, you know, in November. Potential the weather stinks. Like, the Bears don't score. The Steelers don't even try to score. They try to beat you 17-15 or 15-10 like last week. So it's always a root canal rooting for an under 40, but I think the Steelers barely get to 20 themselves, and I think they win the game.
That's where the Bears have been living. The Bears have been living in the 13 to 17 point range scored this season, and I don't see any reason why that changes in this matchup either. I personally stay away from it because, as you said, Zach, root canal rooting for an under 40, all it takes is a defensive score or one big play. And, you know, these teams do have some playmakers, especially on the Steelers side of the thing, of the equation, but it's one that does feel like they deserve at least having a total this low.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Next up, we've got a head-to-head matchup between you two guys, and we find it in 49ers and Cardinals. The 49ers are one-point dogs at home against the Cardinals. Vic, let's hear your side, and then Zach, the rebuttal.
Well, my side is that the Niners beat the Bears last week, so that was pretty impressive. I mean, obviously not really, but I think I watched that game. It was the only game on TV up in the Bay Area, so I was forced to watch that game. And I think they got some of their swagger back, and they had some before the year started. I think they got some guys coming back now. They were able to run the ball. Jimmy G played pretty well, so I think they're actually in a good mindset. I think the Cardinals are beat up. Obviously, they lost A.J. Watt 2 weeks ago. It's a big loss, but I think they have other injuries now. I think it's a good spot for the Niners at home just to win the game.
You know, I'll never take a quarterback who's already been decided he's not good enough, and that's what the Niners have been, you know, have long decided on Jimmy G. But the Cardinals get a little bit of extra rest. You know, they were due for a little bit of crash back to reality, and they still should have won that game last week. So I think they'll be faster. That's what they're built upon. I think they'll clean some things up, you know, with the extra rest. They know they can beat the Niners. They need this game to get back on track. It's going to be a sprint to the top seed. And yep. Are the Cardinals good enough to do that? We'll see. They think they are, and they're certainly better than the 49ers, good enough to win on the road here this weekend.
Razor-thin margins for the Cardinals and the Rams, right? I mean, one of those teams might be the one seed getting the only bye in the NFC, and the other team will be the five seed having to go on the road to play Buccaneers, the Cowboys, the Packers. I mean, that is the most important division race in all of football, is the NFC West. There is a major difference between winning that division and losing that division, so you can't let the winnable game slip away. The Cardinals definitely have one this week. I was tempted to join Zach on this one and go Cardinals minus one and just get the whole Cardinals fan club together on this one, but ultimately I end up staying away. Zach, really quick, just to follow up, we know that, you know, Kyler Murray dealing with a little bit of an injury. DeAndre Hopkins dealing with a little bit of an injury. AJ Green in COVID protocol. No concerns there yet?
No, they still have Christian Kirk. They still have Rondale Moore. I mean, you know, Kyler and DeAndre, they're used to this, right? So they're going to play through it. And like I said, I like the teams off the extra rest. Mm-hmm. And I just like the Cardinals' sense of urgency. I think that they can just flat out score more points than the 49ers need to in this game.
All right, let's go to my third pick. It is the biggest spread on the board this week. Bills are 14.5 point favorites at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Give me the Bills, you guys. We've seen the Bills be very comfortable with spreads like this. The Bills have played 4 games against teams that we would all say, no doubt about it, head and shoulders better than, and these teams are not at all playoff contenders. It's their 2 games against the Dolphins, division games that they've already played. In week 3, they played the Washington football team. In week 4, they played the Texans. Week 2 against the Dolphins, 35-0. Week 3 against Washington, 43-21. Week 4 against Houston, 40-0. Last week against Miami, 26-11. This is a team that has shown us time and time again that when they have the opportunity to play against a team that is much, much, much worse than they are, they take care of business and they don't really let up at all. And so that's what I think they do again in this game against the Jaguars. And it's, you know, the Bills are the rare team that because of their style of offense, because of what Brian Daboll asks of them, they're not going to be this team that gets a three-score lead and then just hands it off to Zach Moss 14 times in the second half. That's just not what they do. That's temperamentally not what this team is. And so that's why I like them to be able to stay comfortably ahead of that pace and really slam the back door that we feel like is always open. Once we get above 14 points, I think they can keep that door totally shut to the Jaguars. And ugh, what a pathetic performance the Jaguars are coming off of in Seattle a week ago. You guys probably remember that was one that I loved. Jaguars plus 3.5. And it didn't work out for me. So I'm just going back at them partially out of spite, but mostly because I just think the Bills are the right play here.
Well, that was because of Geno Smith. Got to give Geno some credit.
Yeah.
Geno was dealing. You can't factor that in. I can't blame yourself for that one. I
mean, Geno was dealing. A couple of big plays downfield to Tyler Lockett. That second touchdown throw to DK was a really, really nice throw. Definitely credit where credit's due, and also shows you if Geno is able to do that against this Jacksonville defense, just dream up what Josh Allen is going to be able to do in this game against the Jaguars. Loving the Bills, minus 14.5. Pick number four for each of us. Vic, we know one of the biggest, in fact, probably the biggest NFL on-field story right now. Aaron Rodgers not going to be playing this week, potentially next week. And this went from a pick'em before the Aaron Rodgers COVID announcement to Chiefs minus 6.5. It is now up to Chiefs minus 7 on BetMGM, and you still like the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to lay 14. I get 14? I'm going to lay a lot. I mean, Jordan Love, I mean, obviously the Packers did a great job last week. They didn't have any receivers, and they won that game last week. But now, without Aaron Rodgers, I think if they had any faith in Jordan Love, they probably would have handled things differently last offseason. But clearly they don't. They realize they made a mistake. I don't think Jordan Love is going to be anything to worry about as far as the Chiefs winning that game, winning it pretty easily. The offense starting to get a little more in sync. The running game came around a little bit last week, even though they struggled against the Giants. But I think the Chiefs, they get a break here, take advantage of it, and they win this one pretty comfortably.
7 is a little rich for my blood, even though I understand why this is up to 7. I feel like it should be up to – it's a totally a fair line. It's just one that's easy for me to stay away from. Zach, any thoughts on this game in particular, Chiefs and Packers?
Yeah, you know, I kind of liked the Chiefs before this news. Jordan Love in Arrowhead. Like, I'm with you, Vic. Now, I've seen some 7.5s on this game, and that could come into play. The only reason I didn't like the under is I think Pat Mahomes is due to get hot, right? And I think Love might set him up with some short fields. So, Vic, this just missed my list, but I'm with you on this one, and I'll probably be on it by the time Sunday morning. Or I think this is the 425 special, right?
It is.
Yeah, so people will be watching, and we'll see.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman going to try to make things sound like all hunky-dory, even though no Aaron Rodgers is going to sell this one. The Jordan Love-Patrick Mahomes matchup rather than the Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes matchup. My next pick, you guys, Vikings and Ravens. I think they go over to the 49.5. We've rarely seen two stinkers in a row from this Vikings offense as constructed. We've seen plenty of stinkers from them. We know that's just sort of the price of doing business with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback. But rarely do we see back-to-back bad offensive games from this team. It just doesn't happen very often. They have too much talent in the skill positions with Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and Dalvin Cook. And Kirk Cousins, for all of his failings, is still a relatively efficient, accurate quarterback who hits on a lot of deep shots. And so I just think that this is a really nice bounce back spot for them against a Ravens team that can be susceptible to the big play deep downfield. On the other side, I think the Ravens are starting to get that offense clicking the way that we want. You know, Marquise Brown really having a bounce back season. Rashad Bateman, the way they've been able to get him in the fold. Now I think we see that take off after with them coming off their bye, and the fact that they are coming off the bye, I think, has them in a good position to put up some points here. So not a huge feel for me on the line. This is sitting at Ravens minus 6 now on BetMGM. It was at 5.5 for most of the week. It's bumped up a little bit to 6. Don't love either side of that. I do think both teams end up scoring in this one, so I'll go Ravens and Vikings get over the 49.5 and ultimately play, I think, one of the more fun games of Week 9. Zach, let's get to your fourth pick. Aaron Rodgers, of course, not the only superstar who is not going to be playing this week. Derrick Henry also out not only this week, but likely for the rest of the regular season for the Titans. Takes a little bit of the luster out of the Sunday night matchup between the Rams and the Titans. Rams are 7.5-point favorites. What do you got here, and why do you got it?
I think Matthew Stafford's hot, right? I think that they're going to score a bunch. So looking at Rams team total, I'm looking at the game over. But I just think the Rams win comfortably. I think the Titans have played over their head to an extent. I don't think defensively they're built to to play with a pass first team that's really rolling, and that's what the Rams are. So they let up early last week, right? And the Texans came back and got the back door, depending on what the line is. I don't think that'll be the case here. I think Cooper Kupp will keep on doing what he's been doing. I think Robert Woods will keep on doing what he's been doing. And I think the Rams are going to score 31-38 and cover this number easily.
An interesting game to watch from Tennessee's side on offense. We know that team has lived with Derrick Henry. We know one of the big reasons Ryan Tannehill's been so efficient in his time as Tennessee starter is because of what he's got behind him in King Henry. So it'll be interesting to see not only the mix between Jeremy McNichols and Adrian Peterson, but just how much they get more things happening deep down the field. Julio Jones has practiced a couple days in a row, so it sounds like he won't even be on the injury report come this weekend. They're going to have to make some things happen down the field. I think they would have to, even with Derrick Henry, with the Rams offense on the other side. But it'll be interesting to see how they designed things to happen for that offense without Derrick Henry. Last pick up here, you guys. I'll go first. I'll take my fifth pick first for us. I'm going to go to an over now after going Vikings-Ravens over. I'm going to under. Vikings-Ravens over. Broncos-Cowboys go under 49.5. I like this for a number of reasons, you guys. Number one, Dak Prescott sounds like he's going to be able to play this week, but coming back from an injury in a game where the Cowboys are 10-point favorites. Sounds like the sort of formula where you don't ask too much out of your superstar quarterback. You definitely don't want him to get hurt. You're winning the NFC East. You could maybe be the top seed in the NFC. This has the feeling of the Cowboys going into this and being like, you know, let's just win this game like 23-10. Let's just take it easy. Let's not put Dak in any precarious positions. Let's get in. Let's get the win. Let's get out. We also have word that CeeDee Lamb is dealing now with a sprained ankle that he suffered in practice on Wednesday. So no word as to his playing status just yet. But if he does play, sounds like he will be at less than 100%. Amari Cooper has been at less than 100% since the summer. Michael Gallup most likely not ready to return. On Denver's side, you got a team that wants to run the ball, that wants to get 20-plus touches from Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon combined. Two good defenses. Dallas's defense better than we expected, and I think even better than they're getting credit for at this point of the season. It just all adds up to a game where both teams are trying to win this one by scoring 20 or 23 points. And so I think it stays under that 49.5. Dak is always live to blow that up in my face, but I just don't think the Cowboys are going to ask that of him in his first game back from injury. I like this one staying under 49.5 points. Zach, how about you take your fifth pick up here next? You also have an under to wrap us up, this one coming out of the NFC South.
Yeah, the Saints have been an under team, and I know Brady rallied last week to blow that up, but you know the quarterback situation is back a mess. They trust their defense. They trust their formula. The Falcons on the other side, no Calvin Ridley. You know, Kyle Pitts crashed back to earth last week, and he's an incredible player, but that's going to happen to a rookie. You know, I just, again, I hate this, but I think I heard it last weekend, 60-some percent of the totals 45 or less were going under. It's because the odds makers are spotting bad ball, right? Mm-hmm. And I just like these defenses here. I don't think the Falcons can get over 16 points. So 41.5, probably a sweat, probably a winner.
Almost always a sweat when you're talking about a total that low, but certainly we'll see. We got so many, like, rarely do we get to learn to have these things in front of us in week 9, but we got a Titans team that's probably going to win its division, and we're going to see what they do without Derrick Henry. We've got a Saints team that is sort of on an island in the NFC, obviously not one of the top heavy teams, but maybe separating itself from the huge morass behind it. And now we're going to see what they've got in Taysom Hill as their starting quarterback. So some lessons to be learned with some likely or potentially playoff bound teams here in week 9. Vic, let's wrap up the show here. Panthers and Patriots is where we find your last pick. Patriots going to Carolina as 3.5-point favorites. What do you got on this one?
I was going to say, I like both of you guys' picks better than mine here, so I kind of want to switch to one of you guys' picks, but I'm taking the Panthers and the points. My logic is thus. I think that Stephon Gilmore is going to have more of an impact now. He's going to come on. It really helps their defense. They have a great pass rush. I think it's a good spot for them. The Patriots coming off a big win in L.A. Now they travel again to Carolina. I like the 3.5 points. Obviously, I'm a sucker for the hook. So, but I do like your guys' bets better than mine. So, but I'm with the Panthers plus 3.5 is my last 5-star pick.
Yeah, it's an important game for the Panthers, right? Playing at home, it feels winnable, even though they're 3.5-point dogs. And again, we've got that huge glut of teams in the NFC. One of them, you know, one of Carolina or Minnesota or Philly is making the playoffs. Atlanta, like, we got this whole group of teams that, Yeah, it doesn't really feel like playoff teams, but one of them's getting in. This is an important spot for the Panthers, certainly. And so that's going to be the pick that wraps us up on the new look, TAFFP on Fridays. Panthers plus 3.5 against the Patriots. Let's do it, guys. This is our week. Last week, 4-11, right? That math is right. 4-11, maybe 4-10 with an asterisk on Zach's Cowboys Vikings total. Let's do it. Let's turn that number around. 11-4 this week. What do you say?
I'm saying 12-3. I feel 12-3 coming on.
All right. I love it, guys. I love it. Hopefully all you out there love it as well. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. For Zach, for Vic, I'm Michael Beller. Have a great weekend and happy betting.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.